after they play You Have Your Say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
In the Scottish Premiership, Celtic 5, Motherwell 1. Hearts 1, Hamilton 1. Remember that game not finished yet, a few minutes left there. Partick Thistle 0, Hibs 1. Ross County 0, Dundee 2. St Johnstone 1, Kilmarnock 2. In the Scottish Championship, Dundee United 2, Dunfermline 1. Morton 4, Brechin City 1. Queen of the South 0, Inverness 0. And St Mirren 0, Dumbarton 1. Scottish League 1, Airdrieonians 2, Forfar 1. Arbroath 1, Stranraer 2. Ayr United 3, Albion Rovers 2. Queen's Park 2, East Fife 1. And Raith Rovers 2, Alloa Athletic 1. In League 2, Annan Athletic 2, Elgin City 0. Berwick Rangers 1, Stirling Albion 0. Clyde 0, Montrose 0. And Peterhead 3, Edinburgh City 0. In the English Premier League, Chelsea 3, Newcastle 1. Brighton 1, Liverpool 5. Everton 2, Huddersfield 0. Leicester City 1, Burnley 0. Stoke City 2, Swansea City 1. Watford 1, Tottenham Hotspur 1. And West Bromwich Albion 0, Crystal Palace 0.
That was Derek Johnson giving you the scores. The open line is open if you want to get in touch. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, 67 games unbeaten domestically. Surely you've got some thoughts you want to share with us on that. You know the number, and we're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. Hugh Keevans, how would you sum up this afternoon's football action?
Great day for Odson Edouard, obviously, hat-trick. And it's funny how football goes. Celtic have the very sad news about Patrick Roberts' injury. Gone back to Manchester City, could be out for 3 months. And on the same day, out of the shadows comes Odson Edouard. Someone who had been all but forgotten about. Now he's got a hat-trick. Now he's a contender along with Moussa Dembele and Lee Griffiths for a place in the team. Now he's shown his true worth to Celtic. So it's been a great day for him. Great day for Neil Lennon as he goes third top with Hibs. And it's been a great day for Kilmarnock, who have recovered from last week's awful performance against Aberdeen, from a tongue-lashing from the St Johnstone manager, Stevie Clark, and they are back with a bang.
We're going to hear from some of the main managers involved in the games today as well, so we always round things off quite nicely at the end of a Saturday night. First caller tonight though is Ian in Greenock. Hi Ian.
Good evening, Gordon.
Hello.
Who's in the studio?
We've got Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson, and Gordon DL is still with us at Celtic Park. You're spoiled for choice.
I can get Gordon at Celtic Park. Anyway, Good evening Murdo, good evening Hugh, and good evening Derek.
Hi Ian.
Hello.
Aye, just talking about the game of the day, guys. I think I can speak to Gordon at Celtic Park. I just listen it on the radio. And obviously, another gear. I didn't think that team was capable of putting five away because they changed so many names in the lineup. But it just shows, Murdo, to yourself, what Celtic have got in depth. I mean, the young boy, Odson Edouard, 19 years of age, he's been in the shadows of Moussa Dembele and Lee Griffiths, and he comes out today and scores a hat-trick, Murdo. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. We spoke about it before the game about, maybe that could upset the whole rhythm of the Celtic team, but when you look at the performances, the front three, Hayes, Rogic and Sinclair, and then you've got Edouard in front of them, and the three of them came off. And then you look at the bench, you've got Armstrong, McGregor and Forrest coming on. So the quality's there. Honestly, I just think, and it just shows you the fitness of this Celtic team as well, because you've got Tierney there, Boyata, Lustig, Brown. These boys played two fantastic games during the week, the cup final and then going to Fir Park Motherwell and still had to fight for the full 90 minutes. And the fitness levels, and I felt today it was up to Motherwell to show that they had the same fitness level, and it obviously they've not got that there. They're a good working, hard working side, but Celtic just far too good for them today.
Gordon, tell us all about Odson Edouard today then. Describe his performance. The goals obviously speak for 2 seconds. I'll let you back in, Ian.
Okay.
Gordon Dalziel is still with us.
Yes, Gordon. Describe his performance. Well, he's walking away with a match ball this afternoon, and he deserves it. I thought his movement was terrific. His finishes were terrific. I'd forgot all about this guy. We were all concentrating on Griffiths. Dembele, that was a big talking point. But I'll tell you what, he certainly put himself in the frame here and said to the two guys, I'm going to challenge you. I thought he was different class this afternoon. I really do, and it was not the fact that everybody will say, well, he scored three goals. I look at the overall play. I thought his positioning was good. I thought his running was good. I think his link-up play was good. But Celtic strolled it. They really strolled us. I was disappointed at Motherwell because I'm looking, thinking, six changes. Surely Motherwell have got a chance here. Celtic won cruise control. Apart from that one goal that Motherwell scored, take that away, Celtic absolutely cruised us. And the guy up front with the ball under his arm, he deserves every pat in the back that's going for him.
Any chance at all, gentlemen, any chance at all that Odson Edwards played his way into the starting team for Anderlecht?
Well, we need to find out about Moussa Dembele's fitness to begin with.
Assuming he's injured then.
I couldn't see him play ahead of Griffiths, but as I say, he has shown today what he can do. Up until today, he had not shown anything.
But has he had a chance here? You've got to ask the question.
Not really, to be fair.
You know, this is what I'm saying. He's playing third fiddle to two terrific strikers. He's given an opportunity this afternoon at home here, six changes. Not Celtic's strongest team, you've got to say, and put up front. And I said before the kickoff, if you're going to make a mark as a Celtic player, as a centre forward, score goals. And I'll tell you what, he certainly scored goals.
Ian, let's come back in there, Ian.
Yeah, congratulations to Celtic in the 60th. Can I speak to Gordon at Parkhead?
Yeah, everyone's listening.
Hi, Gordon.
Hi, mate. How are you?
You obviously, I listen on the radio, and it could have been double figures, according to the commentator. I think it's Tom English, it's a Radio Scotland commentator.
Well, I couldn't possibly tell you.
No.
Anyway, I'm a Clydeswan guy.
That's right, quite right, Ian. What's your question for Gordon?
What it is, Gordon, this is early doors, by the way, but I'm talking about James Forrest. The boy comes off the bench today and scores two wonder goals, apparently,
Is he a
contender, Gordon, for player of the year?
Yeah, I think it was Hugh or somebody in the studio was talking about that. It's very early doors, but let me say, I think James Forrest has improved in all departments. His finishes are superb. I think his last one with outside of the foot, it's so composed, he just takes it outside the foot, he knows where he's putting it. He's playing with such confidence, but I think the big help to James Forrest was simple for me. Competition for places. I know Patrick Roberts is now injured and he's out for a few months, but before that, James Forrest, when he walked on to the Celtic pitch with the jersey on, knew, I have to play well here now because this guy is going to come in and take my place. And I think that's helped James Forrest 1,000,000%. He's playing with so much confidence, scoring goals, can buy people, he's delivering into the box and everything. And it was not that long ago, and you've got to be honest, and a lot of Celtic supporters were on the show shouting that he must leave. He's been different class, and you've got to hand it to him, the coaching staff, and the players round about.
What do you make of that then? What pleased you most about Celtic today, or Motherwell fans? What was the thing that annoyed you the most? 0141 951 1025. We do have a full time whistle in that delayed game at Tynecastle, Hearts against Hamilton Accies. Here's Fraser Wishart.
Hearts 1, Hamilton Accies 1. Well, where to start? The game stopped a couple of minutes ago. There's still supporters in the stadium booing. Supporters around me having a go at the Hamilton Accies players are sitting just in front of us here. It's been a crazy day at Tynecastle, and after an uninspiring first half, you just wouldn't have seen this coming, but the game just broke into life in the second. Fireworks on and off the parks, in the dugouts, two goals, two red cards for the Hearts management, and that was after Jamie Brandon, the Hearts young fullback, had been sent off in the first half. There was little from Hearts the first half other than that, Brandon sending off with two yellow cards. Accies, on the other hand, more likely to score in the game's best player by a country mile, David Templeton, against his old team, and brought a couple of saves from McLaughlin and shot just wide on the half-time whistle. But the second half was just absolute chaos. Craig Levein made a change, Lewis Moore came on, Bismarck and Calvis, and what an impact the young lad had immediately. He was brought down to the edge of the box and Jamie Walker curled a magnificent free kick into the top right-hand corner for Hearts. The other end, McKinnon then brought a smart save from McLaughlin low to his right, and there's a better game already in the second half. But there was a simmering atmosphere on and off the park. Craig Levein, the Hearts manager, was sent to the stand. He said something to the fourth official when John Souter was booked for a foul on the edge of the box. He was clearly unhappy at that point. Jimmy Walker then had a 25-yard volley just wide. Then, amazingly, Austin McPhee, the Hearts assistant manager, was sent to the stand. The ball went out for a throw into Hearts. This is right to Hamilton, just in front of the dugout area. McCann put the ball, sorry, McPhee put the ball under his arm. Darren McKinnon tried to get it from him as the Hearts assistant manager walked towards the dugout. The two players fell over, and in the rammy that followed, was pushing and shoving. All the players were involved, all the staff were involved. Everybody seemed to have a hold of somebody. Police were in attendance, trying to separate people. It was a really unsavoury incident, and the outcome of it all was Austin McPhee was sent to the stand to sit beside Craig Levein. Once all the nonsense calmed down, it was Hamilton once again that got on top of the game. David Templeton hit the post, Rohana with the rebound and a brilliant save tipped over by McLaughlin, and the 69 minutes of deserved equaliser for Aki's. Templeton again involved, brilliant corner into the 6-yard box, and big centre half Thomas rose above everybody else to head into the back of the net. Aki's now searching for that winner to try to take them above Hearts on the table. Doherty free kick just wide from 20 yards, and then stoppage time they almost grabbed the winner with Thomas again, powerful header, brilliant save to his right. McLaughlin, it was cleared off the line by Aaron Hughes, and then Skondras right on the final whistle broke into the box and shot wide on the angle just as the Bobby Madden blew his whistle. A tough game for the Bobby Madden to referee, but that's three games back at Tynecastle. The new stand, three draws and games at Hearts would be expected to win, but I think Hamilton Accies and Martin Canning were disappointed they didn't get the 3 points over the 90 minutes. I thought they thoroughly deserved. Full time at Tynecastle, Hearts 1, Hamilton Accies 1.
What a game that sounds like, Hugh Keevans.
Well, we had Fraser speaking earlier on in the programme about the rising concern for players' safety, where fans are concerned. And now Fraser's describing Hamilton Accies players who are not playing, who are simply sitting in the stand, being got at by Hearts supporters. That has to be unacceptable. The spectacle of a coach and a player rolling around on the floor arguing over who should have the ball with police intervening, it doesn't do much for Scottish football's reputation. And it sounds as if, all things considered, Hart's poor run at Tynecastle and before they even got to Tynecastle is getting to the fans, getting to Craig Levein, and they've got to sort it out. They're a bottom six club at the moment, but most important of all, their reputation has been tarnished.
Yeah, I'm not happy fans at this moment in time. Well, the three of us went for the five results in the Premiership this afternoon. Can I give you the scores, Gordon?
Quickly.
Hughes up first, Hugh got four. And with that, if you got it, the score correct, you got 2 points.
Right, okay.
And if the team won, you get one. Hugh got 4 points.
Wow.
Derek got 4 points. And Murdo got 1 point for Murdo.
Sorry.
So you and I have it. Well done, Jim.
Breathless stuff at Tynecastle then. I'm sure someone can get involved and tell us this, Hugh Keevans. There must be someone out there who knows their stuff. I can't think of any game where a manager and assistant manager both sent to the stands for separate incidents in the same team.
Listen, on any day when police have to intervene, that's a cause for concern. And Anne Budge has to be concerned about Hart's reputation on and off the park. And that kind of stuff isn't good enough.
I mean, it's bad enough players and supporters, you know, being abusive.
Yeah.
But when the management team, two of them are sent to the stand, then it's a piece of nonsense.
Tam is in Clydebank. Hi, Tam.
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Right, where do I start? Good performance today by Celtic. My Celtic man, as you know, I've been on the show before. Gordon, I've listened to Gordon a number of times over recent weeks. He talks up with Lee Griffiths. He's a big fan of him. He likes him. I'm a big fan of Griffiths. And also your comments today on James Forrest. These two players, I believe that no matter what they seem to do, no matter how well they play, Lee Griffiths, for example, scoring for fun, doing everything right, big fan of him. The minute Dembele's fit, Griffiths is benched. And the same applies with James Forrest. No matter what he does, how well he plays, scoring goals, up and down the line, skinning players, a whole lot, the minute Paddy Roberts is fit. He's benched. And then it's like, I mean, Brendan Rodgers can do no wrong in everybody's eyes and all that. And I'm a big fan of Brendan Rodgers. However, I think there's some kind of politics involved there regarding maybe Dembele trying to get him on show, get all that talk about him up, get the money up on him again, get the talk about all that talk they're having about him being worth 15 million, 20 million or us. And also the politics with the finances regarding Paddy Roberts, who's a brilliant player, big fan of him, but he's on loan for Man City, and I don't know how that money deal works out or whatever, how his wages are paid or the contract or whatever. But these players, when they're fit and are a big game, especially I noticed in the Champions League, and once they get into the Europa League, we'll see it there again. No matter what happens with Griffiths and Forrest,
I'll stop you for a minute. You talk about big games. When was the last... Forget the league. When was the last big game Celtic had? Sunday at Hampden. In the cup final. First cup final.
Aye.
Who played? Forrest.
Aye.
Who was on the bench? Who was on the bench? Paddy Roberts.
He's been injured, to be fair, though, Gordon.
I totally take on your point about Dembele and Griffiths, and everybody will have their opinion about that. But the opinion that matters most is the Celtic manager. And the way he rotates the squad, I think, is different class. I looked at this today, 6 changes. And the luxury of having 6 changes is incredible. I thought Motherwell could have got something today. And see, be fair, Celtic actually strolled this. Now, Griffiths is on the bench. Forrest comes on and scores 2 goals. I understand what you're saying about, but it's all about competition. This is what he's done. He's brought in 2 players for every position, and he's saying to these players, this is what you've got to do. Even if, you, like say, Griffiths goes out there, bangs goals in left, right and centre.
Aye.
When it comes to a big game, Dembele will be the guy that plays, but Griffiths accepts it.
If you bring in a player, Gordon, for £500,000 from Fulham, and you realise very quickly that he has the potential to be sold for an awful lot more than that. Tam calls it politics. I call it being pragmatic. You're thinking to yourself, we got him for £500,000. He is an outstanding talent. He's had a season that you could only dream of last season. And if you think you can buy for £500,000 and sell for £25 million, no politics.
Can I throw a third argument in here? That is it not a bit more simple than that? That Brendan Rodgers just thinks Moussa Dembele is a better player.
100%. That's what I'm saying.
They can't be worried about anything else.
Brendan Rodgers is not the stage where he has to say to his board, "Listen, I brought in somebody at £500,000. I'm going to sell him for 10, 20, 30 million, blah, blah, blah." Right? Brendan Rodgers runs this football club from top to bottom. So he's not interested in that. What Brendan Rodgers does is he picks the best team on the day that he thinks will win a game. It doesn't matter if you're worth 500,000 or you bought for 100,000 or whatever. He will pick the best players to win the game, and that's why he's successful. So I can understand where Hugh's coming from. They say, well, we can play this guy, we can put him in the Champions League, we can, you know, we bought him for 500 grand, we can sell him for 20, 30 million. Brendan Rodgers, I don't think, thinks like that. I think he just goes, I want to win, I want to break records, and I want trophies.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're a business, and they are a selling club. And if that kind of money comes in, Celtic are delighted. And it's not as if... I've said on this programme before this season that I think Moussa Dembele has to reboot his career at Celtic Park, because last season's over and done with. You remember when Brendan Rodgers came in, he was asked about Lee Griffiths and his 40 goals the season before, and Brendan Rodgers' reply was, I wasn't here the season before. So now we're all on a fresh sheet of paper, and that includes Moussa Dembele. However, the point is, Celtic are a selling club, and it is a business, and it's
that,
not
that's
as
not
if
why he's playing Dembele over Griffiths.
No, I was about to say, and it's not as if he's a poor player. So you have the luxury of having a very, very good player who could be sold for 20 million, whatever, for the sake of conversation, and you got him for 500,000.
James is in Springboig. He wants Celtic to go and buy Odson Edouard. We'll get his call after these.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, in the studio. Gordon DL is still at Celtic Park and we're taking your calls on the open line, 0141 951 1025. We're on Twitter as well, Ross Tradamus. I see what you did there, well done, Ross. Yeah. Talking about Odson Edouard today, he says, big Edouard is still very raw. Too much praise as usual, needs to be seen a bit more before he can be assessed. James and Spring Boyd, what did you make of Edouard?
I thought he played well today. As I say, he played well against Partick Thistle a while back there, and he scored his first goal and in the dressing room they all applauded him.
Hamilton, the Hamilton game, yeah.
The game, aye. And the thing is, I know that Celtic have got an option at the end of the season to buy him. Is there a possibility that Celtic and Joe and Jang and just turn and say, we'll just take him now?
The trouble with scoring hat-tricks is that word carries back to Paris and everyone else can see what he's doing as well. So as he grows in confidence and perhaps gets more and more goals for Celtic, then obviously the price goes up.
James, is there not a case to say that it's still probably a wee bit too early for Celtic to decide if they actually want to sign him or not?
I would take him now, because you know what happens if you don't take him now. You know what happens? You get Liam Muller, who'll go to Man United. You'll get, what do you call it, the players like normal go. As I say, what you do is get him now. As I say, I would get him in January.
Gordon, can I ask you a question? How old is he?
He's 19.
Right. 19. I forget the hat trick because obviously a striker is judged on his goals. I watched his movement today. For a 19-year-old, I thought he was different class. I thought his movement as a striker was brilliant. He put himself into good positions. And I think he'll just get better and better and better. And what you're saying there about, you know, the parent club looking and going, hold on a minute here, this boy's improving. I think giving him a run of games, he will definitely improve, because he's got everything in his locker. He's got pace, he's got a great touch, and obviously today he showed that he knows where the back end is.
I don't necessarily mean to take anything away from him. I think it was obviously brilliant. I just mean in terms of Murdo, he has literally played about, yeah, maybe three games in total if you add up all these minutes. So I'm talking about, even if you look like a world beater in three games, it still might be too early to decide if they want to buy him.
You've still got to take your time. Celtic, they've been blessed with two fantastic strikers just now, and then one's injured. So Brendan's looked, well, we better get Edouard back in the squad. He's put him in the starting lineup, because obviously he was thinking about Lee Griffiths is going to play on Tuesday night. So you've got to make sure he doesn't get an injury today. So put him in the bench, put Edouard into the team, and to score three goals is fantastic for him. But again, when you're going to buy a player, you've got to have one that's been consistent, that he's playing in the team. That's going to be a big thing for him, just to get games.
He's 19, come on, he's 19.
Yeah.
You know, and he's behind, like, say, Griffiths, that's played in the Scottish League. He's behind Dembele that Hugh's talking about.
Are these two a fit, Gordon?
Yeah, but Derek, let me say, for 19, he's not bad. He's not bad.
Gordon,
let me say,
I have to go back to the moment where Dembele scores three goals against Rangers, having previously done not terribly much in a Celtic jersey. He replaces Griffiths, scores three goals against Rangers, and never looks back for the remainder of that season. I'm not saying automatically that happens to Odson Edouard because he got three goals against Motherwell, but I'm saying that it does offer the suggestion that this guy is as good as Celtic thought he was when they got him on loan from Paris Saint-Germain.
But the thing is, will he get the chance? You know, because if Dembele's fit and Griffiths fit, they'll get in front of him. If he gets a run of 10 games in a row, you're maybe right, but he's not going to get that.
If Celtic go into the Europa League, then there'll be European and domestic fixtures after the new year. There'll be plenty of room for everyone to get a game.
I just wonder, I'm just talking generally, this is not even necessarily about Odson Edouard, I just think sometimes, you know, there is a temptation there to be a bit knee jerk, because in the days when he played and he didn't score, no one said, "Oh well, that's him a dud. Definitely don't sign him." So I just wonder if it's going to take a wee bit more than this hat trick. And even although Gordon talks about his all round game, it's just still very early. He's there for a full season for a reason. There's a lot of young
players at Celtic Park as well. It can't get a game just now because of the quality they've got in the first team. He's unfortunate. He's got two in front of him, and it's a one striker. Up front, so it's always his third in line there. When you look at round the pitch, you've got a youngster at left back who's one of the best players we've got in Scotland just now, and I think it's difficult just to jump and say, "Oh yeah, fantastic, he's going to be a great player." We don't, he's not been doing enough, and he's not playing enough. If you don't play games, you can't judge the player.
Thanks to James in Springboy. Let's hear from Alan Archibald. Partick Thistle, bottom of the table. It's not looking too good over at the Energy Check Stadium at Fir Hill. Let's see what he had to say after that 1-0 defeat at home to Hibs this afternoon.
No, it was a sore one. I thought we played ever so well. I thought it was a good game of football. And it was end to end at times. I thought we had a couple of the better chances in the game. Your goalie, two good saves. Thomas didn't have anything great saves to make as such. So there's a lot of positives there.
Does the goal kind of sum up the way your luck's went this season?
A little bit, but we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves. It is a bit of luck when you're down there, it happens. We know that, that's football. But the thing you can't have a lot, you've got to take your chances. The goal's a good second save to Chris Doolan. But overall, I thought our play was good, our general play was probably the best we've played in terms of moving the ball and getting some good areas today.
Is that what's going to be the message, take the positives forward and try and keep confidence up and things like that?
Yeah, it's got to be. Look, we're not too down about it. I didn't think it wasn't a poor performance, by any matter of means. And we're going to a big massive game there against Kamal next week, so it's got to be positive.
How important is it if you win that game
and
you don't get
caught adrift? Yeah, I think it's vital important. I think we want to stay in touch with the teams around about us. There's three or four there. It's important that we go and pick points up.
I feel like you're in a dogfight now.
I don't think it's really changed, is it? I think we've been down there. It's not really changed over the last few weeks. What's happening, other teams are picking up points. If we can pick up points, you can actually grab the teams maybe above that and drag them in it as well.
Did Hibs catch you by surprise at all going with a 3-5-2 at the start?
No, not really. We'd worked on different shapes. They've been playing that. They played it in the second half of the St Johnstone game, so we're aware they could do it. And I knew McGregor was dying to get back in the team, so it gave that opening by McGinn being suspended.
Well, Alan Archibald certainly still sounds optimistic enough. Hugh Keevans, he's seeing signs, and that's part of the problem sometimes. If you sound defeated, then things tend to go badly, but he's obviously seen enough today that thinks that things can turn around.
Listen, he's bottom, but he's got 23 games left to play, so it's too early for doom and gloom. And it's a Partick Thistle thing to do to battle out of these circumstances. But when he speaks of Kilmarnock next week, then of course it's important, because if Kilmarnock were to beat Partick Thistle next week, they would take a 6-point advantage over them. And you know, you don't want people leaving you behind. But I repeat, he's bottom, but he's got 23 games left.
Big game underway in the English Premier League, Derek.
There is. The Arsenal entertaining Manchester United. Just a couple of minutes gone. No chances already, but it's very, very open. That's what I can say, even at the start of this game.
Thomas is a Rangers fan in Dunmarnock. Hi, Thomas.
How you doing? I've got to change it a wee bit here and talk about Scotland for a change.
Okay.
His Rangers are bad enough, isn't
it? Right, if you say so.
Oh, they're bad. They're obviously bad. Anybody can score a hat trick against Rob Kiernan. Anyway, I was going to say, I watched a draw, England getting a draw. I spoke to Gordon Smith over at Ibrox, and I actually said this to you, Derek, I know, a few years back, when Rangers actually won the league with Marvin Andrews, and I says that asking supporters would they like, the four games a season doesn't work anymore. And I heard all this, a blueprint for the future, we're going to try and change it and change the setup and change the structure. We can't match England with the money, but you're watching England now, they've got that St George's Park. They're under 17s, have won the World Cup, I think they're under 20s, have won it. The national team is possibly going to improve, maybe, don't know, but they're still up for this. Jury's still out on the big team. But now we've sacked Gordon Strachan. And by the way, I actually believe he was my best option, because I can actually see he's maybe going back the way. I hope I'm wrong, but if we actually go a blueprint for the future, for the actual game, because it's stagnating, the game.
Well, we do have one. It's called Absolutely. Project Brave. Whether it works or not, time will tell, right. But we certainly have a plan. We're not just hitting and hoping for the best.
Yeah, because obviously, as I say, that's 20 years now for tournaments for the national team.
Yeah.
I was just wanting to know if Derek knows about the future, any plans.
I think Gordon's right with
you. We're set up in the league as well, Derek.
Yeah, but as far as Scotland are concerned, you know, the bonus I think that we've got is we've got a lot of good youngsters these days who I think, you know, could turn into good Scottish players. I think we've got players in the side that are well over their 30s and they're not going to be there for European Championships and World Cup qualifiers. I think what the manager has to do when he comes in is get some of these youngsters, and they need games. That's what, as Manchester United just scored. But you know, they need games to play in, and I think that is the future for Scotland, is trying to get a young side back into the Scotland, because there's plenty of energy when you look at the Robertsons, the Tierneys, people like that, that are very good players who could do well down south playing in the top English sides. We've got a few young players that can do that, and I think the quicker we can get them in and get them playing in a Scotland shirt, then the better it's going to be. It might take a few years yet, but that's the only way forward for us. With the youngsters that we've got in playing in Scotland and down south just now, I think that's the best way and the only way we can move forward.
I mean, to answer Thomas's point, Hugh, we can speculate all day about whether we think things will work. That's a different argument. But we do have Project Brave about to get underway. We have a performance school structure which has been underway for a few years now. Yeah. We're seeing the likes of Harry Cochrane become the first graduates of that to play in Scotland's top flight. He talks about St George's Park. Well, we can't really compare. We've built Orium. So it's not like we're just sitting doing nothing about it.
No, I don't think Thomas has paid the slightest bit of attention. If he can ask the question, he's clearly never heard of Project Brave, so he doesn't pay very much attention.
Well, these things don't always get the headlines, to be fair to Thomas.
Come on now. We've had countless press conferences with Malky Mackay, and we know how much money has been devoted to this by the SFA. As you said yourself, we're not sitting there. We're not great. We've been 20 years in exile, but we're not sitting there twiddling our thumbs. People are working hard, trying hard, coming up with ideas. Might not be everyone's cup of tea, but to say the game is stagnating and nothing's being done is simply incorrect.
Just let me tell you, Derek, sorry, we've got something important I need to talk to you about. There's been a 3-car accident westbound on the M8. It's just before Junction 18 at Charing Cross. So that's heading into the city. And towards over the Kingston Bridge. So thanks to Phil for the call. M8, just before Junction 18 at Charing Cross. It's queuing back the way to Junction 15, Townhead. So it's coming westbound, if you like. So fairly serious situation there. Hopefully everyone's okay, and just avoid if you can.
See, the question was asked many years ago in Belgium, you know, and we've brought this up, you know, several times. They decided, Belgium, what they're going to do, they're not going to bring all that many foreign players into their game. They're going to try and bring through their youngsters to try and make their national side better. It may well take a right few years, and it did. It took them 10 years. But you look at these Belgian players that are now playing, even in the Premiership, you know, all the quality players. Yeah. That's what they decided to do. And even if the youngsters weren't playing well, they kept them in the team, kept them going all the time. And all of a sudden, Belgium were one of the top seeds here in the World Cup. That's what they've turned into. So it's taken a bit of time, but it's helped them.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He was asked about the inclusion of Odson Edouard in today's team. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, he's been very, very good in training. And I just felt today we needed more mobility at the top of the field. I thought our general play and in our games, in particular the Wednesday game, was very good, but to play against our centre halves, I felt we needed more movement in front of them and in behind them, and so we decided to go with Odson, and as good a performance as you'll see, you know, for a young player that age, had everything in his game. Talk about his movement, you know, for the first goal, if you actually watch the goal from the build up, the constant mobility that he has to show for it, set it, run across the line, and then his movement to actually get in the box and finish. And that's something that we spoke to him on. He needs to become a real killer in the box and be in that area to score, and it was a great finish. But his other goal, anticipating, and like I said, we win the first header, win the second ball, and then he's away in a 1v1. And his pace was always going to take him away from people, and finished it really well, the second one. And the third one's anticipation. He's reading the, you know, he's on his way. If you watch it again, as the ball's going to the keeper, he's really reading it, gets it, and then finishes it quickly. He has a great move to create James Forrest's goal. Runs across the line, his movement takes away the defenders. And it's a real complete performance by a big, big talent who's been unfortunate not to have had more game time. But he's really settled in now. He's enjoying and loving him being at the club. And like I say, it was a complete performance today.
A complete performance, says Brendan Rodgers. Gordon Dale, you recognise that?
Yes, I do. And I think the Celtic manager's correct in what he said, because what he's done is, a young 19-year-old coming into Scottish football, he's let him settle into the club, Gordon. And people forget that. let him settle into the club. I completely forgot about the boy until he walked out here today. But let me say, he's right. His movement, I kept looking at him. And I was very fortunate I played as a front man. And I looked at this guy's movement, and his movement was terrific. At 19, his movement was absolutely terrific. And he finished it off with 3 goals. Even if he didn't score this afternoon, I would say this boy knows how to play football. Yes, he's got a big task because Dembele's in there, Griffiths is in there, Celtic play one up top, but he certainly put a thought into the Celtic manager's mind.
At the very least, Gordon, take yourself to Tuesday night, Celtic versus Anderlecht. If Moussa Dembele does not make it because of injury, at the very least, you know you could start with Griffiths and you could bring on Eduard. And following on from his hat-trick, the crowd would welcome him. He would feel better about himself because of the hat-trick. So, at the very least, he has made a significant stride forward today.
It did come on against PSG in the 5-0 game at Celtic Park. That was just after his first goal against Hamilton.
Gordon,
but he'll be feeling
can
a different...
Can I interrupt you here? Yep. I need to go there. A fire alarm on. I've been thrown out of Celtic Park. It's... I have to go, unfortunately. I've never been thrown out of a football club, but now I'm thrown out of one now.
Never a dull day on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thank you and good night to Gordon DL. And you know, to be fair, he's not lying. You know, sometimes he's got these wee fibs, and I thought maybe he's Gordon DL just trying to get up the road because he's got a night out tonight. But actually, the fire alarm can be heard going off in Brendan Rodgers' interview, which we are going to bring you very soon.
Gordon and fibs, you having a laugh?
What about this one, Hugh Keevans, as well? Tommy Wright, clearly he was very unhappy. Now remember, there was a car full of St Johnstone players. It didn't make it in time or in good time to their home game, McDermott Park, because of a car accident on the A9. So Tommy Wright raging before the game, and now no one from St Johnstone willing to speak to the media after the game. Derek, what are you clapping at?
Yeah, honestly, what a magnificent goal there from Manchester United. A 3-man move. I mean, Arsenal gave the ball away about 25 yards from their own goal
10 minutes in.
And honestly, there were 3 players, a little one touch stuff. What a finish that is,
yeah,
from
wonderful.
Manchester United.
Wonderful.
Wonderful goal from Lingard. Beautiful goal.
I hate to go from Jesse Lingard back to Tommy Wright, but, you know, a car accident, traffic, players not able to play. Yeah, it's a real disappointment to you, but it is in no way an excuse for not attending to your press duties after the game. And if that had nothing to do with it and he's simply disappointed by losing, you cannot lose the match and then say, right, I refuse to speak to the press. In fact, the SPFL, I am quite sure, have rules about these things, and attendance at press conferences by someone representing the club is a must.
Lots of Celtic fans getting in touch on Twitter, having a wee dig, saying, I wonder if Stephen Robinson's going to make any excuses today. Well, we'll hear from him after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly. The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard's open line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson are with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The fire alarm's gone off at Celtic Park, so Gordon DL's no longer with us. What a day it's been for alarms and car accidents and delays, and it's been a very strange day. Anyway, let's hear from Stephen Robinson. His team well beaten at Celtic Park in the third of that trilogy between Motherwell and Celtic. Here is the Fir Park boss.
We won't come with excuses of it's a hard week and, you know, we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that. We turned up in the first half and it wasn't us. You know, we didn't get it. Listen, Celtic are a top, top class team. They make changes and they bring in top class footballers, you know. But if you're going to sit off them and let them do that to you, then you've no chance. And the game is effectively over at half time. We didn't, as well as outplaying us, you know, they outfought us as well, which is the biggest disappointment of the game, really. Second half, we had a go at it. You know, we chased the game and we put Elliot on, who done excellent. We put Demi on. You know, we had a right go at Carl McHugh. But it's too little too late, and when you've got the class that they have to bring off the bench, never mind what started, they're going to pick you off, and that's ultimately what happened today.
You got the goal back at 2-1. At that point, did you think maybe you could get yourself back into it?
Yeah, of course, because we couldn't have got any worse than the first half. We were poor, and Celtic were very good as well. I mean, take nothing away from them. But, you know, when a 2-1, Malty has a little half chance as well. We have a couple of half chances. The games, they were right in the game then, but you always run the risk that they can pick you off, you know, and we made mistakes for the, you know, the two goals. We didn't get tight enough for the third goal, and the fourth goal was just an error, which was unfortunate because I thought Richard Tate was excellent and has been in all three games.
Frustrating, Steve. I seen you after the first Forest goal with Kieran Adams out looking at it done. You know, there's been a few goals where defenders have just stood back and allowed Forest in particular to come in. Is that?
It was very similar to the goal at the final as well, yeah. And I think the second goal for them as well, where our defenders step off them as well. You know, that's a lesson when you play against top class players. You can't do that, you know. And that's something our boys will learn from. You know, bearing in mind they're making their way in the game, and they'll learn from that and they'll be better for it.
I don't think the man can say any more. A perfectly honest assessment of his team's performance. Giving all credit to Celtic, not attempting to take anything away from them whatsoever, and agreeing that Celtic outfought and outthought Motherwell. So I don't know what more Stephen Robinson can say. There were no sour grapes there, no harking back to penalty kicks given or not given. And I repeat, what more can the man say?
Yeah, he wasn't happy about being outfought, Hugh. That's one of the 40s now for Motherwell. Their work rate, their fitness, everything. I keep on going on about it, but they've lifted up to a different level. And obviously now, even all the coaching staff will know that they need to step up again.
Yeah, it's the biggest part of their game, is the effort everybody puts into it. They go as a unit, yeah.
Yeah, it was clearly just... And he said as well, Derek, we weren't good enough.
Yeah, he's very honest at that. And I think when you're beaten 5-1, you know, you have to say things like that. You can't make up excuses. You know, if a team's 5-1, you know, and it could have been a lot more, then he's got to just come out and be straight with everybody.
Yeah, because the temptation would have been there. The word excuse is one thing, Hugh, but the temptation would have been there to at least say, third game in a week, it became a bit too much for us, but it was pretty clear he didn't want to even mention that side of it.
No, and when Alisson gave him the chance to talk about being 2-1 down and if there might be a prospect then of getting a point out of the game, he's had a couple of half chances, and then Celtic paying tribute to the strength and depth which they possess, they can bring James Forrest off the bench and he scores two goals. So the man has been perfectly honest and not attempted to pull the wool over anyone's eyes.
Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers talking about this, all the stuff that's gone on off the field this week, all the debates and arguments between Motherwell and Celtic, just all the noise. Let's hear what Brendan Rodgers made of all that.
Some of the nonsense that came out of them this week was absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible it's been. So I just want to make the point on behalf of, you know, for the players and for the supporters of this club, you know, that the humility that they've shown, you know, and this is on the back of after a game on Wednesday, we have a chief executive of Motherwell, right, who I see, and it's a guy in senior authority, walking around with a laptop trying to show and demonstrate to media that it wasn't a penalty, and who was in the media room also trying to show members of the media that it was a penalty, and then tweets later on that evening talking about retaining class and dignity. That doesn't fit. It's not behaviour that defines and fits that. So for us, Motherwell, it's been three really good games. Nothing with the manager. Stevie's a great guy. He's done brilliant. He's done absolutely first class with his team, him and Keith Lasley. They make them competitive, and all the games were competitive in different ways. But for their senior members of the club to do that, then I find that very, very disappointing. You know, three good games, three tough games. I respect the emotions of them, but we've done our talking on the football field, and that's where it should take place.
Doesn't sound too happy.
No. Well, as Stephen Robinson tried to forget about the two games against Celtic and concentrate on today's game, Brendan Rodgers
wasn't so keen to do that.
He's clearly been irked. For me, I know the Fir Park press room very well. I know that people will be being asked, was it a penalty? Do you think it was a penalty? I think that journalists should be left to draw their own conclusions and draw their own conclusions in their match reports and be left to get on with it. I don't think there should be any attempt to influence anyone.
To provide a bit of balance though, and we're assuming he's talking about Alan Burrows there as Motherwell's chief executive, it's not just the size of clubs sometimes changes things, Hugh. This is, you know, if Peter Lowell walks into the press room at Celtic Park, people are going to say, you know, what's he doing here? But Alan Burrows being in the press room at Motherwell, a club of that size, a building of that size, is completely normal. You see him in there every game.
Yeah, I do understand that Alan has risen from supporter, given a position at the club by John Boyle when he was in charge there. And we've had him in this studio and I have paid tribute to him because it's a great story to go from the terracing to the boardroom. I'm only drawing on my own experience as a journalist working at Fir Park in that press room in the heat of battle, if you like, right after the game where you're trying to get your words across. I do think you should be left to draw your own conclusions. I do not think that a representative of the club should be going round with a laptop saying, look, you can see.
I would disagree with that, Hugh, because there are loads of people, and you know, being a journalist yourself,
because sometimes the game's on telly and the television's on.
Yeah. You're writing, you're trying to get your stuff out and you miss it. So how can you write about something if you haven't seen it? So somebody actually coming round and showing you exactly what happened must help.
But listen,
you.
We're running out of time. Let's speak to Robert and Hag Hill. Hi, Robert.
Hiya.
Hi, Robert.
I wanted to ask your panel a question. He's ready, yes?
Oh, yes.
Right, my first question is, right, does the panel think that because Rangers beat Aberdeen on Wednesday night and we play them tomorrow, and if we beat them again tomorrow, then we beat Celtic in December the 30th, considering the way Celtic have been playing in Europe, do you think that we could actually win the league?
No.
Are you going to elaborate, no. Hugh Keevans?
No.
Well, no. Celtic, Robert, are 10 points ahead of Rangers at the moment. It would, and your argument is based on what if, you know, you're giving Celtic 10 points of a start, a team who have gone 67 consecutive domestic matches without defeat. My simple answer is that Rangers don't have a squad that's good enough to win the league. Yeah.
And my dreams, Robert, yes, you're absolutely right in my dreams, yes. There's no chance.
Is that unanimous from you, Murdo?
Oh, Celtic's 67 games unbeaten.
Tells quite a story.
Rangers can't win three in a row, so that tells a big story.
Hugh Keevans, how would you sum up another action-packed day of Scottish football?
It's been a terrific day for Celtic, who unearth Odson Edouard, who scores a hat-trick, who has moved himself into a place where he is worthy of consideration now. We had forgotten about him today. He's no longer the forgotten man. It's a great day for Neil Lennon as he goes third top of the league. He plays Celtic next at Easter Road. What a game that is going to be. And down at the bottom, concern for Partick Thistle, but Stevie Clark gets Kilmarnock in an upwardly mobile direction.
And Dundee United go top of the league after beating Dunfermline 2-1 because St Mirren were beaten at home by Dumbarton 1-0.
Thanks to Hugh, Murdo and Derek for joining me in the studio. Thanks to the top team all around the grounds. And as always, the biggest thanks of all to you folks, the listeners. Thanks for getting in touch on the phone lines and on Twitter as well. Massive game tomorrow, Aberdeen against Rangers. We'll be back Monday night, 6 o'clock. Derek Johnson, Hugh Keevans and myself will go over all of that and look ahead to Celtic against Anderlecht. GBX up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.